And then today was my first day of a new job, so I'm a bit hungover and very nervous. I've drunk quite a lot of coffee today, so if I sound mental, that's why. And secondly, a thank you to, well, basically, Story has had various working titles, all of which were really shit. So I just wanted to say thank you for Alan, who came up with the title that it has now. That still counts as eating, you know. On the morning of the 23rd of June, 1959, Cecilia Margaret O'Reilly was in grave danger of sin. Lizzie Sidebottom, whose mother was nominally Anglican and whose father wasn't much of anything, not being of the Roman faith herself, remained ignorant of the peril in which she was to place Cecilia Margaret's immortal soul. Outside their adjoining houses, shortly before the children went their separate ways to their separate primary schools, Lizzie offered her next-door neighbour a toffee. As Lizzie turned left for Calls Lane Primary, Cecilia Margaret turned right and started walking towards the Roman Catholic Primary School of St. Cuthbert, Maine. St. Custard, Maine, the children said. It was a sunny day. A sparrow dallied on the edge of the pavement, giving Cecilia Margaret the beady eye. A bus went past. She looked at the sweet in her hand and then tugged on the twisted ends of the wrapper, revealing a glutinous brown mass. It stuck to the paper, rather, had been in Lizzie's pocket, pressed against her hot little thigh all through her breakfast of tea and toast and margarine. But Cecilia Margaret pulled it free, popped it into her mouth, and sucked on each of her fingers in turn with great relish. Saliva welled up, sweet and juicy. Across the road, Cecilia Margaret's teacher, Miss Saunders, stepping smartly over the cracks in the paving stones, looked up and saw her pupil chewing in the street. She scowled in the direction of the little girl, but remained unseen. In a hurry, she continued on her way. Soon after Miss Saunders had passed, Cecilia Margaret remembered that this morning was to be a school mass. That was why she had taken no breakfast. Sensibly, she pulled the wrapper from where she had stuffed it in her pocket, spat the toffee into the wrapper, and then folded the whole into a neat little package. She was, by nature, a very careful and tidy child. She forced it back down into the pocket of her beige school coat. Her stomach remained empty and pure to receive the Blessed Sacrament. It was not far from St. Cuthbert, Maine, to the Church of the Immaculate Conception. Once the children had been called in from the playground, entered the Victorian building through the two separate entrances marked boys and girls, answered their names according to the class register, and then watched the register disappear out of the room in the care of the monitor, then it was time to march back out through the separate entrances, boys on one side, girls on the other. The genders were reunited in the playground in crocodiles, a crocodile for each class. The eldest children in the prefect's classes came first, and the younger classes came behind. The infant's class came last of all. In formation, the children then walked the half mile to the church. This year, Cecilia Margaret was in the lower second, Miss Saunders' class. In less than 2 years, these children would be prefects. The burden of impending responsibility weighed heavily on Cecilia Margaret. She hoped that she would be a good prefect, firm but fair with the little ones, and helpful to the teachers. There was even a prefect's shield and prize giving at the end of the year. It was something to aim for, something to make her parents proud. Tripping off the street into the churchyard, the tiny worshippers made their way towards the entrance in the carefully observed crocodile. The black stone walls of the church towered over them. If one child of the lower second should so much as turn their face from the back of the head of the child in front of them, much less attempt conversation, Miss Saunders would swoop down on them like a vengeful whippet and place an ice-cold hand on their shoulder. A child would realise their mistake and snap their head forwards, but by then it would be too late. Miss Saunders would begin to squeeze her bony fingertips into the remorseful young shoulder. Then she would continue to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, vice-like, until tears sprang silently from the eyes of the offender, just as water droplets spring from a wrung-out cloth. Miss Saunders was much more than a teacher. She was a saver of young souls. Any one of her charges could stray from the path of righteousness. The prevention of sin was her vocation, the word vocation from vocare, to call, the calling from God himself. The fact that she had never married was not a failing. By the silent witness of a single life, a holy life, she was the light shining out in the world, pointing the way to God. The children filtered into the darkness of the church, close and heavy with incense. Christopher McNally had told Cecilia Margaret that the incense was made of crushed up beetles, and he should know, him being an altar boy. The air smelt of cloves and old lady perfume, thick and sweet, like the time Cecilia Margaret and Lizzie Sidebottom had snuck into Mrs. Shipley's apple garden 6 months after she died, but before the house had been sold. It was late September. All the apples had fallen and were rotting in the grass. Cecilia Margaret saw one perfect apple, green with freckles of red, lying at a distance from the others. She had picked it up and brought it close to her already open mouth before she saw the underside of bruised mulch riddled with maggots. She screamed and threw it away from her, but it had been close enough to smell, and the sickly scent had lingered in her nostrils for hours. When she walked into the church, that same smell enveloped her, the odour of death giving life to maggots. Well could she believe that the smoking thurible contained the remnants of decaying beetles. Your children genuflected at the nave, then filed their way down the sides of the church to slip into the pews. Mass was a tedious business, although it was probably better than being in class. For the infants, only a desperate terror of being sent to the headmaster afterwards kept them from talking or falling asleep. It was a little easier for the juniors, as they had been taught the correct Latin responses in school, and were thus able to join in to a certain extent, parroting the holy mystery of the Eucharist unfolding on the other side of the altar rails, beyond the priest's turn back. When it got to the mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, some of the boys changed the words. Mea cowboy, mea Mexican cowboy. None of the boys in Miss Saunders' class tried this. When it was time to go up to receive communion, Cecilia Margaret followed the girl sitting next to her out into the aisle, stumbling awkwardly as she tried not to step upon the green leather kneeler that ran the length of the pew. As she joined the line, stretching to the priest, she felt a firm grip on her elbow of increasing pressure. Startled, she turned to see Miss Saunders looking at her with eyes narrowed to vicious slits. Cecilia Margaret thought of the tiny gaps in the screen of the confessional, infinitesimal glimpses of priest on the other side. "I saw you chewing a toffee this morning, Miss O'Reilly, on my way to school. You cannot receive communion. It is a mortal sin to take the body of Christ on anything other than a completely empty stomach." Several things went through Cecilia Margaret's mind at once. Taking communion on a full stomach was only a venial sin. She was pretty sure of that one. Mortal sins were just the obvious things, like killing people and maybe adultery, which was something to do with Mrs. Lovak, to whom nobody's mother would talk. And of course, missing Mass on Sunday, which made Cecilia Margaret think of all the little black babies who missed Mass every Sunday because they were yet to be part of the mission in Africa, and her heart thumped painfully, and she decided to save more pennies for the black babies in this year's mission collection. Her father, who was a convert, and therefore more enthusiastic than the average Catholic, had explained to her all about mortal sins and venial sins. Cecilia Margaret thought of her mother, a rather absent-minded, jolly woman, and how she sometimes put something in her mouth by accident on Sunday mornings, maybe a bite of toast or crumpet, but would then spit it out just in time and say the Lord didn't mind if we made mistakes, just so long as we tried to put them right. Cecilia Margaret's heart thumped painfully again. She wanted to explain that she hadn't actually swallowed the toffee, that it was all right because she had spat it out just in time, which was what her mother did. But she was afraid in case she was wrong and in case her mother was wrong. Sensing that boniness would prevail, Cecilia Margaret unhappily imagined the skeletal Miss Saunders confronting her comfortably padded mother at parents' evening and saying, "I believe you are the mother who encourages her daughter to spit food out before receiving the body of Christ. That still counts as eating, you know, and actually it is a mortal sin. You have damned your entire family to hell for all eternity." Cecilia Margaret knew that her mother tried ever so hard and would be very upset if something like that should happen. If her mother got upset, then maybe her father would come to school and he would have an argument with Miss Saunders about mortal and venial sins. There would be a fuss, certainly. She bowed her head. "I'm sorry, miss, I forgot about the toffee. You will see me after lessons today, Cecilia Margaret. Students in my class do not make such a mistake more than once." "Yes, miss, sorry, miss." Cecilia Margaret walked away from the altar, round the back of the pews, then found her seat and knelt in front of it, hands knotted together, and said as many Hail Marys and Our Fathers as she could. She had done no wrong, she was sure of it, but could find no way to argue with Miss Saunders that would not cause greater problems for those around her. It was a frightening moment as she realised that her teacher was mistaken in her catechism. Either her teacher or her father. It was a dizzy clifftop, too close to the edge feeling. There was a shift in her plane of vision, a maggoty squirming in her belly. When she was 5 years old, the curate told her God loved her far more than her mother or father ever could. Then, as now, she realised how she was helpless and alone, her and a distant God. Hot tears spilled over her flushed cheeks. Maybe the whole situation was her fault after all, and there was something terribly wrong with her. Et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the playground at Cause Lane Primary, Lizzie Sidebottom played hopscotch with her friend Eleanor Wainwright. She offered Eleanor a toffee. The end.